What a tremendous blessing that not only did we get to gather as his church, but we got to sing about it and rejoice in it. What a blessing that was today. So we think so thankful for our worship team and how they help us as we come before his presence with singing and into his courts with praise. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, we love our Bibles here at Faith Baptist Church. Please turn to the book of Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. In just a minute, we're going to read a passage that should be familiar. Often it is read during the Christmas season, so it may seem a little out of place this morning, but I hope that there's some things we can learn today that are encouragement to us, and we're going to, since it is a lengthy passage, I'm going to just ask that you remain seated as I'll read it aloud, and you can follow along silently in your Bibles. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be? I do not know a man.' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born shall be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste and to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord.' And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth from generation, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the heart of Mary that we see here would not only encourage our mothers today, but encourage all of us. Lord, that there would be lessons that we could learn about trusting in you that would help us in our walk with Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, moms have a lot of different roles, right? They're wives, daughters, and mothers. But they're also often chefs, tutors, teachers, chauffeurs, nurses, Bible teachers, detectives, enforcers, coaches, referees, financial advisors, kid wranglers, housekeepers, and so much more. They wear a lot of hats. They fill a lot of roles. Well, this morning I'm going to look at the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, from Luke chapter 1. And I want to see some of the roles that Mary had. But what I want to do is zero in on what she says, because she reminds us of what she considered her most important roles to be. And these would be true not just for Mary, but for every mom. And there's lessons to be learned for every believer this morning. What I'm hoping to do is take some pressure off of moms who wear so many different hats, fill so many different roles. Often I think moms feel like they have to constantly do more or be more for their families. I think the rise of the Instagram mom, or as they are called, momfluencers, has just made things more complex, not simpler. It's added this additional pressure for moms to feel like they need to be the perfect mom. What I like is that the Word of God makes things far more simple. So we're going to look at how Mary reacts to being told she was going to be the mother of the Messiah. No pressure, right? No pressure to be a perfect mom. It's just the Messiah, you know. And I'm going to zero in a couple words she uses in this passage I hope will be a help to us in our understanding today. And yes, they all start with M. So the first is the word maidservant. The second is the word magnify. And the third is the word mother. And what I want us to learn today is that the most important role a mother has is this: to simply be a servant of God who magnifies his work in her heart and in her children's heart. Isn't that far more simpler? I hope that it's a help to you today. You know, as we think about the book of Luke as a whole, I just have to say I love the book of Luke. Perhaps it's because it's written to Gentiles, and it just so happens I am a Gentile, if you didn't know. And so it resonates a lot with me. And I think it resonates because we feel this broken world in which we live in, right? I mean, if you haven't noticed, there's war and famine and sickness, crime, hatred, broken marriages, broken homes, broken communities. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. It's a sampling, if you will, of the deep, deep fallenness that we exist in today. But Luke speaks about Jesus, who is the Son of Man, the God who became human so that he could redeem us and one day even redeem this broken world. He was the God who came into a radically sinful world to rescue radically sinful people. But Luke comes full of hope because he reminds us that the Messiah is not just a savior for Israel, he's a savior to everyone who believes. Luke actually emphasizes that universal offering of salvation through Jesus Christ, that he is calling people from every tongue and tribe and nation to experience God's salvation. Can we say it this way? Because sin is universal, Jesus' offer of salvation is also universal. And Luke, I think, more than any of the other gospels, really emphasizes that. But also thinking about the Son of Man, Jesus, who is truly human, coming to identify with sinners, coming to rescue sinners. He highlights in the book of Luke Jesus' ministry to outcasts, to pariahs, to the marginalized, to the forgotten. He cares about the people that other people would rather just forget about. While they're forgetting, he is forgiving. And he is rescuing people that others would rather reject. But also, Luke points out, especially, the faith of women and their special role in God's unfolding plan of redemption. Luke is the only gospel that records this beautiful psalm of praise that we read called Mary's Annunciation. Interestingly, when Luke records Jesus' genealogy to trace him back to the throne of David to show he has the right to sit on the throne of David, it doesn't trace it like Matthew through Joseph's history, but through Mary's, thus showing her part in her role in God's redemptive plan. So God gives us the book of Luke to remind us that a sinful world tends to devalue people, people made in God's image. And even the New Testament reminds us that men and women are equal heirs of the grace of God. And so as we look at Mary's faith, let us first recognize that first of those three words and get a window, so to speak, a window into Mary's view of motherhood. And that first word is the word maidservant. And we see that when she says, behold, in verse 38, Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Now, I want to be clear about something this morning. I am not saying mom is the family maid. Some of you think that she is. Pick up your own clothes, for heaven's sake. She's not your maid. It does say, though, she is the servant of the Lord. Some translations use the word servant or even bond slave. But the Greek word just means female slave. And remember, we looked at that at James chapter 1 and verse 1, where James says, I am a servant, a slave of the Lord. So why was she calling herself a servant of the Lord or a slave of the Lord? What was she trying to communicate by saying this? I think the passage itself gives us some indications about what she means by saying, I am the servant of the Lord. Well, first of all, we see from this passage what she means by servant of the Lord means she submitted to the will of God. She says clearly, let it be to me according to your word. She is accepting wholeheartedly the angel's message from God. God sent the angel to give a message from God, and she responds, let it be exactly like you described. Whatever God wants me to do is exactly what I want to do. Her first instinct was to do the will of God. And listen, that is the first step in being a mother that makes impact for God's glory on her children's heart. You know, David is called a man after God's own heart. But what does that mean? Well, it means a heart that is so completely yielded to God's will that David wanted what God wanted. That was the problem with the previous king, Saul. He wanted his own way and kept doing it. But God says, I'm looking for a man who's got a heart like mine, one whose will is submitted to mine, one who wants my will to be accomplished. And that's exactly how Mary describes her. I just want to do whatever it is you want me to do. I want to do your will, Lord. She is, in a sense, then a woman after God's own heart. And in this, we see echoes of Hannah from 1 Samuel chapter 1. Remember, Hannah was praying for a child, which would be Samuel. And she refers to herself the same way. She says, I am a maidservant of the Lord. By the way, I encourage you, when you get some time, go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2, read that story, and compare what Hannah says and compare what Mary says. You're going to see a lot of similarities between what the two say. And what does she do as the Hannah, as the maidservant of the Lord. She dedicates Samuel, her child, to the Lord. I think there is in that story then a reminder that Mary saw her children the same way as Hannah did. They don't belong to me, they belong to God. My job is just to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as the New Testament says. So she submitted to God's will, but she also was filled with God's word. I don't have time to break it all down, but if you were to read through the Annunciation, and in your Bibles, if you have a Bible where it has little letters, and then it has off in the margin references, it's showing you that that theme or that similar truth is found in other parts of God's word. As a matter of fact, it's so interesting. Not only does it echo what Hannah said in 1 Samuel 1 and 2, but it also echoes what David said in the Psalms. There's lots of Old Testament references loaded into this passage. So when she begins to sing a psalm of praise, you know what comes pouring out? Scripture. Now, here's what's interesting to me. It's very likely that Mary was illiterate, and yet her heart was filled with God's word. Which means we can assume that her weekly attendance in the synagogue and hearing the scripture read, she listened with such attentiveness. When they would sing the Hallels as they marched up to Jerusalem for the celebrations, her heart was filled with that word. And so her heart was so filled with God's word that everything that she said and did, that just scripture came pouring out of it. She wanted God's will, but she knew what that will is because she knew God's word. And look at us today. We can at any time pick up our Bibles or even on your phone or tablet, and you can fill your heart with God's word. She didn't have that opportunity, and yet she loved it so much she filled her heart with it. Oh, that we would have that same spirit where we would fill our heart with God's will through God's word, so that it comes pouring out of us in every decision we make and every word that we say to other people. It is filled with scripture. But she also was filled with God's ways. She had a tremendous faith. She says, let it be exactly how you described it. Let it be that way. By the way, there's so much loaded in this passage. As you read about Elizabeth, a barren woman who was of elder age, who received a child in her old age. Does that remind us of any Old Testament stories? Maybe Abraham and Sarah? It's like it harkens all the way back. Even in the wording of this passage, we're reminded that God, who made promises to Abraham, is now keeping them in Jesus Christ. It's filled with faith. And it says, and nothing shall be impossible for God. Notice what he said, what Elizabeth says about Mary in verse 45. Blessed is she who believe, for there will be a fulfillment of these things which were told to her from the Lord. She was saying, oh, Mary, because you have believed God, he will fulfill his promises to you. This is loaded with faith, people trusting God's ways. She was a deep woman of faith and believed. And listen, this was making her life pretty complex. Now, and we know this because later on when we started studying the book of James, remember how we remarked that they had an interesting family situation, since people claimed that Jesus was born of fornication. They said, hey, women don't get pregnant who are virgins. Something must have happened. You must have sinned. Now, listen, there's no doubt that in her mind, these things were probably rolling around. If I don't have a husband and I get pregnant, this is going to make my life very complex. But in the middle of that, she says, let it be exactly like you choose for me, God. What faith. I have to admit to you, there are times when God chooses to work out his plan in my life in ways that I don't agree with and that I would rather he not. And it's hard to say, God, not only do I believe in your word, not only do I want your will, but how you choose to work that out in my life is always right. And I'm just going to receive it by faith. I'm just going to trust you. You know, it's interesting that today we have so many anxious young people. And I know there's some complex issues surrounding that. I'm not trying to oversimplify it. I know there's other factors. But the truth is we have a lot of anxious adults today. And listen, I said this morning in my Sunday school class, more is caught than taught. And the fact is I wonder if there's not a real lack of faith in God's ways among adults. And that anxiety that's really piercing our heart and gripping us is not being transferred in children. Instead of teaching our children to have faith in God's ways, I wonder if not in part, again, I'm not saying it's all because of this, but I am saying that I think that there is a lack of faith that is getting transferred to our children. But I also believe just as much that the faith of our mothers and fathers can be transferred to their children. They can see it at work. I'm not saying you can give them your faith, like take it out of your heart and plug it into theirs, but they can watch your faith in God and it can inspire their faith in God too. How do we know if we can trust people's hearts? We get to know them. How do you learn to trust God's heart? Get to know him. Spend time talking with him, walking with Jesus, looking in the Word and letting the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. And the more you get to know God, the more you get to trust and have faith in him. Motherhood is not about fulfilling our desires for our children. It's not about fulfilling your children's desires. It's not even about fulfilling your community's expectations. It's about trusting the God who knows best and dedicating ourselves to knowing and doing God's will because we're his servants and we trust in him. My friend, this is bold motherhood and bold fatherhood and bold Christianity. We just want God's will, find it from his word, and then trust how God works that out by faith. By the way, this is how we as parents fulfill this command to nourish our children in the instruction and the correction of the Lord. We teach them to trust in God, to have faith. And Mary had that here. Also, I don't want to miss this. I think there's some picture. I don't want to stretch it beyond its context. I want to be careful in my Bible interpretation. But it is interesting that while this is happening, you have the Spirit, it says, overshadowed Mary. And I know it was to make the conception so that she can have Christ. But it was interesting that the Spirit shows up. God tells Mary his will. The Spirit overshadows her. And then in one sense, even Jesus was dwelling in her. Now, this was physically, okay, as he actually grew in her womb. But I think there's still a lesson to be learned that when God gives us his will, he also gives us a spirit in the presence of Jesus Christ to help us do it. He doesn't say, here's my will, now just do it if you can. He says, here's my will, and I'll help you every step of the way. Oh, that's encouraging to my heart. So she was a maidservant, but also we see she was a magnifier. I love that term. My soul magnifies the Lord. I know different translations use different words to say that. Exalts the Lord. But I like that word, magnify. You know, I have found as you get older, your eyes don't always work like they should. And you say, well, you look like you're doing good. You're not wearing glasses because I'm wearing contacts. And in this eye, I have one to help me see close. And in this eye, I have one to help me see far away. You know what I like about reading glasses, what I don't have contacts in? They magnify things. They allow something that is too small for me. Now, it's not that my eyes don't work. It's just that my arms stop being long enough to do this. and but it magnifies it so I can then read it. In a sense, what Mary is saying is, I want to make God big through my praise. Actually, more accurately, I want to show and proclaim how big he already is. I want to proclaim the greatness of the Lord. You know what? A parent who does that, that says, my job is to see the greatness and the goodness of God and make him big in my heart. Make him the biggest thing. There's nothing I want more. There's no goal that is greater than just knowing Christ and making him known. Isn't that far simpler than being sure that you get everything right as a mom? It's almost as like we think as parents that if I do everything right, they're guaranteed social and spiritual success. We can equip our children, but ultimately, we have to put them into God's hands, don't we? And Mary just said, listen, I just want to be a servant of the Lord, and I want to show everyone how great he is. I want my heart to see his bigness, and I want my family and others to see his bigness. We ought to make God big in our own heart and make God big to our children. When you make God big in your children's heart, it tends to drown out the lies of the world, the lies of Satan, and even their greatest fears. One of the reasons why we're often anxious is because things look bigger than God. And yet, the Bible shows us his greatness so that our fears get smaller and he gets bigger and our hearts get confidence in him. She magnifies his majesty. You cannot read this psalm and not see how awesome God was to Mary and how it fills her heart with joy. She literally says it, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. You know what awe is? It's when God is big. Awe and joy are connected in Scripture. Awe is believing that God himself is your satisfaction, your significance, and your security. He is all that you want and all that you need. And joy is what happens when you find that he is. It just flows out of you. When God looms large in your life, it just tends to fill your heart with joy in all that he is and all that he's doing. What we need today is women who have overflowing awe of God, women of great faith, who then have overflowing joy. Now imagine the impact on not only our children's heart, but the next generation's heart when they see the awe and joy of God in us. This morning I saw Cliff, as I always see Cliff, with a big smile on his face. And I says, you know, you're the strongest guy around. I say, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And boy, do you have the joy of the Lord. You are strong in the Lord. Even as our bodies fail, our spirits and our hearts can be stronger and stronger day by day. She had that. And awe and joy in God. But she also magnifies his mercy. She talks about God, my Savior. He regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, and I will henceforth be blessed. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him. Later on, talks about how he's helped Israel, or his mercy even to national Israel. So I want to point out something very important, because there are some who get this wrong. Mary is not a dispenser of grace. She is a recipient of grace. She doesn't save anyone. She needed to be saved. And she says, God is my Savior. She not only needed to be rescued from her sin like us, but she needed his help every single day. And by the way, that is us too. We need him every single day. She magnifies in awe and joy, magnifies his mercy, magnifies his might. She trusts that God would be her Savior and her helper. You know, it's one thing to believe that God will help you by giving you heaven and eternity one day, but it's quite another to believe that God's not only going to save me in the sweet by and by, he's going to save me today. He's going to rescue me and help me and work in my heart and work for me in every way imaginable. She expects God to do great things. And she, in fact, depends on God to do great things. A mom who depends on God to do great things in her life and in her kids' life, a woman of faith like that makes a deep impact. Listen, it's not about you being more and you doing more. It's about you trusting him who does more and putting your faith in that. We get anxious about so many things that don't matter, instead of focusing on the things that really do. Mary didn't get everything right, but she got the right things right. She trusted in God. You know, moms worry sometimes about their children, if they are going to get hurt, if they're going to develop physically on schedule. They worry if they have good emotional and mental health. They worry, do they have friends? Do they have bullies? Do they have the right kind of friends? Are they happy? Are they healthy? Am I making well-balanced meals? Are they doing well in school? Do they have too much screen time? Are they struggling with peer pressure, academic pressure, social pressure, sinus pressure? They have allergies. And they ask themselves, am I doing everything that I can to help them succeed at life? When the right question to ask is, am I walking with Jesus through his word and spirit so that he is everything that I need? And am I showing my kids how to do that too? That's what Mary gets right. If you get that right, then you can rest in God that it'll turn out how he wants. You can't guarantee your children's social or spiritual success, but what you can do is show them how you're finding in Christ all you need and how they can too. But lastly, she was a mother. And she was a real mom. One of these phrases that gets used in Scripture that always makes me laugh a little bit because I feel it is, and Mary pondered these things in her heart. She's like, here's the thing is, Mary didn't understand everything. She just said, I don't understand everything, but I believe God, and I'm going to do what you ask me to do. She didn't do everything right, but like I said, she did the right things right. Listen, you don't have to have everything figured out to be a good mom. Isn't that same thing with dad? Isn't that really relieving to you? I don't have to know everything. I don't have to get it all right. I just have to say I'm a servant of the Lord, and I want to magnify him in my life and in my kids' life, and then I'm just going to be a mom and do the best that I can. You know, it's interesting. At Jesus' first miracle at the wedding in Cana, Jesus had to gently rebuke Mary for the question she asked. She asked him if he could multiply the wine. And he had a little gentle, read that passage again. There's a little gentle rebuke in, what does this have to do with me? It's like, hey, listen, I'm on God's schedule. And we both need to remember that. It's just a very gentle, humble rebuke, I think. But he, in a sense, reminded Mary that, hey, you may not understand what's happening here, but I've got a road that God has forged for me, and I will walk that road. And then what did Mary say back? She just told the servants, whatever he asked, just do that. You know why? Because that's exactly what her heart is. Let it be exactly like you said, Lord. You can see that echo when he says to Jesus, just do whatever he says. Listen, you don't have to do everything right, and I promise you, as a mother, you never will. But just get the right things right. Focus in on those things. She was just a mom who didn't understand everything, got some things wrong, got the right things right, but she took her job seriously and sought to live biblically in the roles that God gave her. She goes, I just want to be a servant of the Lord. I just want to make him big. So my advice to you today is just simply seek to be a godly, biblical wife, mother, daughter, and every other hat you may wear. Now, as I conclude, remember when I said I was going to tie this to our study of the book of James? Well, here we go. I mentioned a little earlier how James in James 1:1 starts by saying, I am a servant, a slave of God and of Jesus Christ. Where do you think he got that from? Now, yes, God and inspiration, the Holy Spirit. Yes, of course. From hearing Jesus teach. Oh, I'm sure he heard it there too. But where do you think he heard it first? Isn't it amazing that James uses the same language that his mom uses in Luke chapter 1? That Luke, along the way, learned what it meant to be a servant by looking at his mom. Folks, that's impact. That's making God big. That's simply saying, I'm just a servant of the Lord. And that's something every mom can do, not just the mother of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how this passage just hits our hearts in ways that give us real hope. We don't have to be and do everything. We just have to trust him who is everything. And even when our faith is small and we struggle and we don't always do the right thing, we can look to him, Jesus, who always did the right thing. Our hope is not that we'll be better people, moms or otherwise, but that we follow a better person, and that's Jesus. And he will help us every step of the way. And at the end of it, oh, of course, we'll look back and probably remember a lot of ways we got it wrong. A lot of mistakes we made, a lot of times we didn't have the faith we should, but we'll also see the grace of God every step of the way. Say, God, somehow, some way, I just reached out for you. I just tried to let you be big in my heart and show my kids how big you are. And it leaves a deep impression. So God, help us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before we close, I want to say that we have a gift for every lady who's here today. And as you go out into the foyer, there's a table on your right, and it's full of these beautiful little jewelry boxes. That is a gift for you. But something we like to do, too, is help people to be gospel-centered, that their hearts will be filled with God's word. So we've also done something else for you. We've put out some resources that have to do with themes around motherhood, and we want these to be available to you. If it will be a help to you, take it. If you know that it could be a help to someone else, and maybe someone that you know that needs some Bible truth to encourage their hearts, we're offering these at no charge. Please, if you can use it, take it, read it, share it. We would love to help you in any way that we can. So these gifts are ours for you today, and say thank you for all that you do as women in our church, women of faith, and mothers of faith. And so I'm going to read this benediction, blessing over you, and then we will be dismissed this morning. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. So this is my blessing on you this morning. May God satisfy you with his steadfast love and make you glad throughout all your days. May he show you his work and his glorious power, and may his favor be upon you and establish the work of your hands. As God's word in Psalm 90 tells us, this blessing upon you, brothers and sisters, go in peace, for you have a God who gives peace.